People around the world know the iconic sights and gyrating sounds of New Orleans, but only the locals know it by another sense. Writer Scott Gold brings us this ode to the olfactory.
When people fall in love with New Orleans, a phenomenon that happens on a daily basis around here, they're wont to wax poetically about the familiar qualities that make this city such a special and enchanting place. But all of this gushing tends to leave out a single and singular fact of life in the Crescent City. This town, for lack of a better word, smells. For me, it all starts with the Holy Trinity and the Pope. No, I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about cooking. The base for all great Cajun and Creole dishes is our local version of mirepoix, a classic combination of chopped carrots, celery, and onions used to initiate stocks and stews and so forth in traditional French cuisine. Only in New Orleans, this trinity substitutes green bell peppers for carrots and adds garlic, known colloquially here as the Pope, owing to the bulb's similarity to a papal headpiece. Proust had his Madeleines. I have the Holy Trinity. And food-wise, it's not just the scent of sautéing trinity that rings my nostalgia center like a cathedral bell. There's coffee. I spent my latter high school years studying in local independent coffee houses, long before the advent of veinty iced mocha pumpkin spice skinny frappuccinos. The smell of the place, the richness of those dark beans with chicory, will always bring me back to those beautiful moments, if only for a short spell. Then, of course, there are the distinctive smells of the Big Easy that aren't easily or even possibly replicated elsewhere. Our abundant natural splendor factors in heavily here. Anyone who isn't entranced by the olfactory dynamite that sets off during a New Orleans spring probably doesn't deserve to be here in the first place. Between the Confederate jasmine, the sweet olive, gardenias, magnolia flowers, and, if you're lucky, blooming angel's trumpets, it's difficult, if not impossible, for a person's nose to not fall headlong in passionate love with this town. Then we have the smells of carnival season. Cheap plastic beads, cotton candy, king cake, diesel fumes, that unmistakable green and skunky aroma of something illicit somewhere, and, this must be mentioned, the singular scent of Popeye's chicken and biscuits. Being able to identify the smell of Popeye's blindfolded at the drop of a hat should be a litmus test for anyone wanting to call themselves a local in the city. Which is not to say that all New Orleans smells are favorable ones. Along with all the glorious scents of the Crescent City, we also have that heady perfume of rue bourbon, a pungent brew of stale beer, cigarettes, manure from the tourist buggies and police horses, hot garbage, hobo body odor, and that unmistakable smell of whatever horrifying toxic brew lives in the craggy potholes of the quarter. If you distilled the essence of this combination into an atomizable liquid, I'm sure it would quickly be banned by the Geneva Convention as an agent of chemical warfare. But for all the cringing these scents might cause, they're worth it for the good ones, the magical ones that enrapture, ensnare, and envelop us so deeply and completely in a way that no other city can. So you can keep your Madeleines, Marcel. I've got my sautéed trinity, my Confederate jasmine, my boiled crawfish, and yes, even Bourbon Street. And I wouldn't trade those for the world. For WWNO, I'm Scott Gold.